This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. And a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Snap to Brady in the shotgun. Looks, fires left wide open. At the 30, 35, 40, midfield to the 40. It is down the sideline and in for a touchdown to Patriot running back Shane Berry.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Play action fake by Sanchez. Back to throw, gets rid of it. It's up. Oh, what a collision on Sean Green. He got labeled by who else?
Pow!
Brandon Spikes, and Sean Green is not getting up after this.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome inside the Xbox One postgame show, inside the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studio, inside Gillette Stadium. Scott Sudikoff here with you, filling in for Mark Bertrand. And yeah, that explains it all right there, that little sound clip. Wow, what an ending. Tom Brady leads the Patriots back down the field, and they score a touchdown with, 5 seconds remaining. Kenbrell Tompkins with a 17-yard reception from Tom Brady with 5 seconds remaining. And the Patriots beat the Saints today 30-27, when for a couple of minutes there, the Patriots looked dead in the water. The interception from Brady. The Saints, though, just could not get a first down on a couple of drives there, and also had to settle for a field goal after the Patriots decided to go forward on fourth down in their own territory, deep in their own territory. I believe it was the 20-something yard line. And the Saints only got a field goal out of it instead of a touchdown, which could have made it an 8-point game. Instead, it was a 4-point game. And then the Patriots, Tom Brady, I feel like it's been a while since we've seen that type of comeback or that type of drive.
One like that, especially with the cast he was working with at the end there, unbelievable to get the team's, I think, 70 yards in just over a minute.
And let me check that for you. Yeah.
It was. I think that drive started at the 30-yard line, their own 30-yard line. And then it would start with the two passes, that one to Edelman over the middle,
and that was
Colley,
a great catch.
And then Colley on a crossing route, and that really got him moving, and they never looked back.
Yeah, that drive, trying to get the final totals here. Yeah, 8 plays, 70 yards, 1 minute, 8 seconds for the game-winning touchdown. Julian Edelman had the first catch, Austin Colley. Then you saw Aaron Dobson after he had a drop on this previous drive, and Twitter was blowing up immediately. Get rid of him. We don't want him anymore. Then he makes a catch later on. I thought he had a pretty good game. He had a very good first half. A couple of drops. And then Kenbrell Tompkins with the winning touchdown catch for the Patriots. 855-PATS-500 is the number to call in. webradio@patriots.com if you're a little shy and you want to email in instead. You can also send us a tweet. You can send them directly to me. At Sudikoff, S-U-D-I-K-O-F-F, on Twitter. We'll try to read some of those, and we'll be rolling on some of the words from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and some other Patriots who get up to the microphone, and we'll get some of that audio for you as we go down the line. So, Patriots win 30-27 over New Orleans. Woo-wee indeed, and as we do every week, or as Mark does every week, I'm filling in for the first time, so I'll do it for the first time. It's time for the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Well, with the good, the bad, and the injured, and starting off with the good, my list of good things really changed a couple of times as the game was going on late. I'll definitely take a look in the first half if I try to find a lot of scribbled notes coming up at the end of this game here. Good in the first half. Patriots, let's start with the Patriots defense. They held the Saints in that first half to 3 3-and-outs, and that's huge. Obviously, the less amount of time that the Saints are on the field and Drew Brees is on the field, the better it's going to be for your offense. Also marked down in that first half, a key that I thought was obviously on the good side was time of possession for the Patriots. They held on to the ball for the majority of the first half. And again, keeping New Orleans off the field. So that was definitely in the good column as well. And Aaron Dobson had a very solid first half. He had, I believe it was 5 catches in the first half. Obviously, in the second half, he may have had a few drops. And then late, though, he did make a catch on the game-winning drive for the Patriots. Overall, Dobson, 6 catches, 63 yards. He was targeted 10 times. Julian Edelman was targeted 11 times. So Dobson really up there as that one of those top options. So for the most part, I'd put him in the good category. Also, Stephen Ridley. Good to get him back on the field after missing last week's game. And he delivered 20 carries, 96 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. Had 2 touchdown runs in the first half. Patriots were up 17-7 at halftime. The defense was very good in that first half, holding New Orleans to 130 total yards. Second half, things started to unravel a little bit for the defense as the Saints had back-to-back touchdown drives in that early third quarter. So to quickly recap what was good, though, from this game, obviously getting the win and seeing that drive from Tom Brady and working with the receivers, Julian Edelman, Austin Colley, Aaron Dobson, and Kenbrell Tompkins are your 4 receivers in that final drive for the Patriots' game-winning touchdown. So it's good to see the young players get involved and have a moment like this to win a game and go to 5-1 on the season. Let's flip over to the bad side. And I thought right off the bat, having to settle for a field goal on that first drive, you got in the red zone, and that's somewhere where the Patriots have struggled this season. Just entering play today, 31st in the NFL in red zone offense, converting touchdowns just 35% of the time. So that first drive, having to settle for a field goal. And then later on, they had to settle for a field goal again. Kyle Arrington had that great interception of Drew Brees. Patriots were in prime position to punch it in. They were up, I believe when the interception happened, they were up 20-17, and you thought they'd go in for a touchdown, maybe go up by 10 there, and again had to settle for a field goal. By the way, Steven Gostkowski was 3-for-3 kicking field goals today, and he had a 54-yarder, and he's a new record holder in Patriots history, his 9th 50-plus-yard field goal, surpassing Adam Vinatieri's 8 50-plus-yard field goals in a Patriots uniform. So I thought the red zone offense could have been a little bit better at the beginning with settling for the field goals. Could have obviously been a different game. New Orleans could say the same thing. They had to settle for a field goal on a couple of occasions as well. And again, some of the drops, the second to last drive there, there was a drop by Brandon Bolden. You had Aaron Dobson, the drop. And then all of a sudden things just morphed into that final drive where everyone was catching the ball. And Julian Edelman had a fantastic catch where he got lit up across the middle. So the good, as it does in a win, the good usually outweighs the bad. Now, unfortunately, you look at this and you get a victory. You're 5-1 on the season, but a lot in the injured column. It started off, Dan Connolly in the first half left the game with a head injury, never came back. Marcus Cannon came in to replace him. And so you hear head injury. Obviously, you think towards the concussion, but hopefully we'll see maybe positive news in the coming days, Dan Connolly. And then Danny Amendola, I believe it was an end-around that he took, and he took a pretty good hit along the sideline. It was borderline helmet-to-helmet. I don't know if it was a full helmet-on-helmet hit, maybe more shoulder, more incidental helmet-on-helmet. I don't think it was a targeting, anything like that, but it looked like Amendola was, boom, out, just about immediately. As his arms were a little bit limp, he was face-first into the ground, and he left the game. He was woozy, left the game, officially a head injury, never came back, obviously. And the thing now you fear is, first of all, this guy can't catch a break. I don't believe in the whole he's injury-prone. I mean, first of all, he got lit up there.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Yeah, it's true. He fell, and he couldn't get up, but he got hit hard. And we talked about in the pregame social today with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart of he's got a torn groin muscle on one side, and the other side is also injured. So he's working with a full groin injury, not just one side.
Yeah, the one positive is that he didn't re-injure his groin.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's the one, if you're really looking for a silver lining, that's the only thing you can find.
And, you know, in this case, he's probably not thinking anything about the groin at this point. If, you know, that head injury is what, again, when you hear head injury and you saw the hit, I mean, I would go out and say I'd be shocked if he does not have a concussion.
Yeah, after the impact of that hit, I didn't expect him to get up, Sudi. I mean, I was worried that he was going to have to get carted off.
Yeah. He popped up and he looked like he wanted to go back on the field, but I think it was more, I don't know where I am right now.
Exactly. He was really wobbly legged.
And so, you know, that was bad enough. And then it was moments later, Aqib Talib left the field, looked like a hamstring at first. Then the team announced, into the media, a hip problem for Talib. I didn't come back in the fourth quarter. You saw Jimmy Graham, who, by the way, got nicked up a bit as well and was out of the game and did not catch a ball today. Jimmy Graham actually left the game hurt, but you saw Kyle Arrington step into the role of Aqib Talib and go and guard and play the defense against Jimmy Graham. So Aqib Talib had to leave the game with an apparent hip injury. And then the hits just kept on coming. Late in the fourth quarter, you saw Jerod Mayo looked like a shoulder injury. He was questionable. I don't think he ever got back on the field, although there was only that one quick drive left for the Saints. So, you know, you get the victory 30-27. Obviously, you're ecstatic about that. You're 5-1. You give the Saints their first loss of the season. You love the drive by Tom Brady and the rookies making the catches, Aaron Dobson and Kenbrell Tompkins. But, you know, that injury list is tough to look at when you lose. I mean, it's four starters that got hurt today. Connolly, Amendola, Talib, and Mayo.
And without Will Fork on the field, you can easily say your number one and number two in terms of most important on your defensive side of the ball, you lost today.
Yeah,
huge loss.
So, I mean, I hate to point out the negatives in such a great victory for the team, but I mean, those are the things you're going to have to look forward. You know, it's only week six and, you know, it's walking wounded for the most part for the Patriots. They beat the Saints, though, tonight, 30-27, 855-PATS-500. If you want to get involved here on the Xbox One post-game show, you can also email us at webradio@patriots.com. And the phone lines are lighting up, as I think we expected either way. The Patriots didn't come back. They were going to light up with some negative calls. They still might, a little bit. And they were going to light up with the comeback, as we saw with Tom Brady. So let's head to the phone lines and start us off with Mark in England. Mark in England, how you doing? We got you, Mark. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. I got work in 3 hours. I just wanted to say that was a fantastic game to watch. I was disappointed the fans left when they did. They should know Tom's never done until the clock's run down.
Yeah, I was surprised that so many fans would leave the game, considering there were still timeouts left for the Patriots, and the Saints still needed to get that first down. After the non-punt, and they went for it on fourth down, they were deep inside Patriots territory. They were held to a field goal. Patriots still had some time left. There was still a 2-minute warning. The interception was thrown by Tom Brady. Saints still needed a first down. If I were a fan sitting in the stands, I'd be, all right, they need to get one more first down, then it's over. It never came, so I don't know why you would leave the game other than the fact that you're going to beat the horrific traffic that happens. But guess what? You miss a moment. That's on the broadcast, on the Fox broadcast, Troy Aikman, Tom Brenneman said plain and clearly, this is a game that if you were a fan that you saw, in 5 years, you're going to say, I remember that game. That was awesome. I got to see that. And that's, you know, that's as a fan is what you go to the games for, right?
It certainly is.
So you got work in 3 hours and you stayed up.
I got work in 3 hours. I got to get some shut eye.
All right. Well, glad the Patriots could get you a win.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Thanks.
Got my Nelson jersey, throwback jersey on.
Oh, really? All right,
well,
Mark.
Let's keep on going. We're getting into November now. That's when everything becomes very important.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much for the call.
All right. Cheers.
Let's head now down to North Carolina. We'll talk to Liam in North Carolina. How you doing?
Oh, great. How's it going for you tonight?
Hey, it was for a few moments there, it looked like it was going to be a bad start to the post-game show, looking like a loss, and all of a sudden, the script got flipped. So a lot of electricity inside this building right now after that performance by Tom Brady, that final drive.
Oh, it was for me here down, too. I think I woke my kids up with the screaming and shouting. My father had actually texted me and said, when's the miracle going to happen? And then all of a sudden, Brady threw a touchdown. So there was the miracle right there to Tompkins.
Yeah, and Kevin and I were just saying a few moments ago that it just seems like it's been a while since it's been that kind of drive from Tom Brady. And just obviously, if you're a Patriots fan, that's fantastic to see and have the young receivers be involved in it. Just, you know, icing on the cake, really.
Yeah, and I'd say this is the Patriots we expect to see week to week, and I'm glad we're getting closer to the mid and later part of the season. You know, Belichick always says the latter part of the season is the most important part, and hopefully this continues on and on and on.
Yeah, obviously you want to hit your stride at the middle part of the season, heading towards the end, and obviously into the playoffs. But this is to beat the Saints, a team that was undefeated coming into the game today in this fashion, has to be a confidence boost for a lot of the young guys, a guy like Tompkins, a guy like Dobson, to be able to be involved in that type of comeback victory. And you did it with a lot of injuries, a lot of players. Obviously, Will Fork is gone for the year, and then you saw injuries with Amendola, Connolly, Mayo late, as well as Aqib Talib. And still to come away with a victory has to be confidence boost, obviously, for the team.
Yeah, and I think the most important of those is the Talib injury. I think to add to your good column tonight, Talib, while he was in the game, was definitely the anchor of the defense. You know, that guy just amazes me week after week after week. And for the bad, week after week, I call in and I say that the tackling, there's so many times that Sproles got the ball and guys just couldn't complete a tackle. And he just got an extra 5-10 yards because of that. And I think that's what the defense really needs to work on most of all, is their tackling skill.
And to further the Aqib Talib point, as he was on Jimmy Graham most of this game before he got hurt, 6 targets, no catches for Jimmy Graham. Kyle Arrington came in later and took over the Talib duties, and Arrington also had that interception. So great job by the team of Talib and Arrington. Have to be you shut down the top receiver in the NFL, and you beat an undefeated team.
Yeah, I'd say that the defense pulled it together, and I'm really happy for that. You know, hopefully they can continue to do that, whether or not we have Talib in the next few weeks.
All right, Liam, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Patriots beat the Saints tonight 30-27. This is the Xbox One post-game show. Scott Sudikoff here with you, filling in for Mark Bertrand, who is on assignment this week. And although I think he's off the assignment, he's been tweeting a bit on the Twitter machine. So obviously he was watching the end of that game. And the Patriots with the comeback victory late, Tom Brady just marching him down the field, 70 yards in about a minute, and passes complete to Edelman, Austin Colley, finally getting some action, although he was only signed last week. And then final couple of catches by Aaron Dobson and Kenbrell Tompkins. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, and we'll talk to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Unbelievable, huh?
Oh, just...
I agree with what you're saying, and I think that... overall, you know, it was a awesome team win. We got to get ready for the Jets. You know, we're a little bit banged up here, and I definitely put all that on the bat. I mean, we really can't afford to lose Mayo, Kalib for any extended time here. I mean, the defense, you know, with Kelly still being hurt, you know, I mean, how many hits can you take? I think that, you know, people have stepped up and done a good job. I think Chris Jones had a good game again.
Dave, I have to cut you off. I'm going to put you on hold, but we have a special guest waiting on, so we'll get back to Dave in a second. But we have a special guest here on the post-game show. We'll talk to Patriot Chandler Jones, who is in the locker room and obviously celebrating the victory for the Patriots. Hey, Chandler, first of all, great victory, great team victory, defensively, offensively, for your team today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Talk about you were on the sideline watching Tom Brady on that final drive. We were talking just a few moments ago that it seems like it's been a while since Tom has had a drive like this, and this maybe might have been the first one that you've really seen up close and personal, this type of drive. What was it like watching Tom Brady march the offense down the field for that game-winning touchdown?
It was a phenomenal feeling. You know, actually, I got a little emotional and started to cry almost. It was a close game, and Tom Brady, you know, he did his Tom Brady, his magic, and he worked his magic and got us the win.
Now, Chandler, you had seven tackles today, one sack. The defense in the first half was fantastic. Three and outs, I believe. Obviously it's important, but how important just to get Drew Brees off the field that quickly and with that offense?
You know, that was our goal, you know, just to get to him. You know, I got him once, and, you know, we kind of got him moving around in the pocket, and that was our goal, and we got him, and we're thankful for that.
How confident is the defense with a guy like Vince Wilfork going down for the year? You have Aqib Talib who gets hurt in the middle of the game, but people seem to step up. Kyle Arrington stepped up, had an interception, and then he went on one-on-one with Jimmy Graham. Joe Villano stepping up in Vince Wilfork's place. Just how's the confidence factor with everybody on that defense, even with the injuries?
You know, everyone's stepping up, and that takes pride in our defense. You know, with guys going down, we got guys stepping up. And it's not what we don't have, it's what we have. You know, we have good depth, and I'm excited for this group.
Yeah, definitely a great effort by the defense and the offense. Now, I know the message in the locker room would be enjoy it for a little bit, but, you know, get right back to the practice field. You got the Jets, AFC East matchup next week, so really no rest for the weary.
No rest at all. Jets next week, and we go back to back.
All right, Chandler, we thank you so much for joining us here on the Xbox One post-game show. Go get a shower, get a good meal, and enjoy the victory.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's Chandler Jones joining us from the locker room, not too far away down the hallway, as the Patriots beat the Saints tonight 30-27. We're on the Xbox One post-game show, and I had a cutoff Dave from Connecticut in the middle of what he was talking about, so let's go right back to... Let's go back to Dave. Hey, Dave. Sorry I had to cut you off there, but what were you saying?
Hey, first of all, you can cut me off any time for Chandler Jones. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, I'm always going to cut people off for Chandler Jones. I don't want him to sick his brother on me or anything. Yeah, I don't.
Exactly. You know, his brother, Johnny Bones Jones, I don't want him knocking on my door either.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Or Arthur Jones, you know, any of his brothers.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Anyhow.
Good family. It's a good family.
You know, they're really coming around, I think, you know. Even though with all these injuries, they're playing as a solid unit, you know, and they had, you know, they made those plays to get Brady that opportunity with a minute and change left, you know, and that was really it was really nice to see the young receivers. You know, I've talked to Mark about it and Rook about it, that these rookies just need time to learn. I mean, these guys have talent. You know, at one time at training camp here, we had like 12 receivers on the team.
Right.
And this is who we went with. So these guys meet them out. You know, there's going to be drops, you know. But overall, I think, like you said before, I think this is a really good experience for them to experience a win like this and get that under their belt, you know, and be a part of it. You know, make the plays when they needed to make the plays. Step up and make the plays.
Yeah.
And, a real good win. I mean, it would have been a tough loss either way. You know, I mean, they played a good game, you know, against a real tough team, you know, and they weren't defeated. And now, you know, hopefully we can get these injured guys, you know, hopefully Khalib isn't banged up too bad and Mayo's not banged up too bad, and we can get ready for the Jets and go from there. I mean, you know, we're 5-1. You know, I talked about it before, you know, when we were talking about these three games there. You know, run here. I said 2-1. Okay. You know, because I figured we were going to, you know, either lose to the Falcons, Cincinnati, or the Saints. Okay.
Right. And to win, you know, won 2 of 3. So that's good. Yeah, to win 2 of 3 of those games. Obviously, you're 5-1. You're in a good spot. I think it's now a game and a half lead on Miami for first place in the AFC. So you're where you thought you would be at this point.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, you were talking about, you know, the red zone. I think, you know, when we do get Gronk back, I mean, he's such a big threat in that area that it's going to open it up for the other guys. Okay, I think, you know, that's gonna come in time too. You know, it's just gonna take time, and it's a work in progress. And it was nice to see this kind of win, because, you know, hey, just like you say, you take the wins with the losses, and you move on to the next game. You know, it was a real good win. You know, it's going to be a good week. Hopefully, it'll be a good week in practice. We get ready for the Jets Sunday and go from there.
All right, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call. Yep, Patriots win today. They got the Jets next weekend, so that'll obviously be any division matchup is an important matchup. So that final drive for the Patriots, 70 yards. The previous four drives, -2, 15, 4, 0. So things were not looking good offensively. You had the interception. That zero was the interception from Tom Brady on that first play, which you weren't really sure what was going on with that. And just going deep, not really anybody open, more of a prayer, led to an interception, and then they get the ball back 70 yards down the field. And Brady to Kenbrell Tompkins for the go-ahead and game-winning touchdown. Let's go right back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll talk to Al in New Jersey. Hey, Al, how you doing?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Well, Mark's not here. I'm Scott, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Scott.
No worries. It's my first time. No worries.
If they had lost, I have to be honest, I would have gone to sleep instead of calling.
Oh, well, then I'm glad they won. Thank you.
Yeah, listen, did you see Rob Ryan's face at the end of the game? It was priceless.
Oh, it's popping up on Twitter and Facebook everywhere. Rob Ryan face is in full effect.
It is priceless. You know, it took the Pats 59 minutes, 55 seconds to take the lead, and I watched every second of it.
They had the lead early. They were up 17-7 at halftime. They were looking good. The defense played very well in that first half. Mentioned with Chandler Jones, they had three free and outs in that first drive, in the first half. And that's, you know, obviously the quicker you get Drew Brees off the field, the better your defense is going to do. The defense sort of bent and broke a little bit in that second half with the back-to-back touchdowns in the beginning of the third quarter. But I think overall, when you shut down Jimmy Graham completely, zero catches. And Drew Brees' numbers were 17 of 36, 236 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, a 75.7 rating. Nothing great, obviously, there. So I think the defense has to be happy with how they performed.
Right. With all the yardage and points given up in the NFL today, defense played great. You know, especially when you face Drew Brees and the Saints, they were 5-0. You know, very few people expected the Pats to win, and this has to be one of the best regular season wins in a long time.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that, and we'll have to look it up. We can maybe try to do that and find the last time Brady had a very similar comeback like this. And this is as good as you're going to get. Obviously, other than Super Bowl 36, maybe
sure.
you're never going to reach that unless you do the exact same thing again. But
sure.
This was great for a regular season one.
I have a game rewind. I'm going to watch this game all week until Sunday when they beat up on the Jets.
Oh yeah, well,
so
you'll definitely enjoy that, I think.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
All right, thanks for the call, Al. This is the Xbox One post-game show. Scott Sudikoff here with you, filling in for Mark Bertrand. 855-PATS-500 if you want to call in. Webradio at patriots.com if you want to email in. You can also send your tweets along at my Twitter handle we can use, at Sudikoff, S-U-D-I-K-O-F-F. I got a feeling a lot of Patriots fans are also Red Sox fans, so they're all parked in front of a TV.
We'll keep them up to date on the score as we go along.
You know, it's perfectly acceptable. You have us on, you have Fox on, you have Joe Buck and Tim McCarver on mute. You're watching the game. You're listening to the post-game show. Best of both worlds, right, Kevin?
I agree.
All right, so coming up real soon, we'll have sound from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady get their press conferences on the air for you. So that is coming up real soon here on the Xbox One post-game show. Patriots beat the Saints here tonight, 30-27. More to come.
Stay tuned for more analysis and reaction from tonight's game.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance. You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit GotToGetFios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One postgame show. I am not Mark Bertrand. I am Scott Sudikoff filling in for Mark this week, and I think I picked a pretty good day to fill in on.
Heck of a game, Steve. Decent. You're a good luck charm.
I'm taking credit for it. Taking credit for a fantastic game. As you heard, you can call in at 508-298-0398 or 855-PATS-500. That's the toll-free number. Email in webradio@patriots.com. Patriots beat the Saints today 30-27. A 70-yard drive in the final minute. Tom Brady, Kendrell Tompkins catching a 17-yard touchdown from Brady for the go-ahead and winning touchdown. Patriots led 17-7 at the half. They played a very good first half. The defense was strong. Three and outs for New Orleans in that first half, obviously, from the Patriot defense. Jimmy Graham, zero catches the entire game. He did leave late with an injury, but
that,
still.
That still amazes me, doesn't it?
Leads the NFL in receipts. Still might.
NFC Player of the Month. The first tight end ever to get that award, coming in on a complete tear. And against this, and now, granted, this defense is much improved over the last couple of years, but still, you know, not exactly world beaters on defense.
And a quick aside on Jimmy Graham, I think that one of the most interesting things is that he played 1 year of college football. He played basketball at Miami, and then he played football for a year, and this is what he's turned into. So, I mean, if you're a Miami, you know, University of Miami football fan, you kind of wish he just played football the entire time, because basketball, for the most part, down there, is a bit of an afterthought when it comes to the University of Miami. But that is a point for another day. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, as it is lighting up, as you would expect, after this victory for the Patriots. And let's talk to Antoine in Jersey City. What's up, Antoine?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really, really excited right now.
You don't sound that excited. You sound a little tired, actually. Did the game drain you?
Yeah. But I'm just really excited, you know, and Tom Brady working his magic as usual, and it really was impressive, you know, and I'm just happy about the whole game. But the only things that I take out that are actually, I guess, so to speak, negative are the injuries. But, you know, we got a full week ahead of us to get back to healthy form.
Yeah.
I'm happy about Steven Ridley doing good, you know, no fumbles. Just overall happy.
All right, Antoine. Thanks for the call. He says he's excited. He didn't sound too excited. He sounded kind of asleep. But I'll say that he got drained.
He's staying
the game.
In the moment. He's trying not to get too high. You know what I mean?
Not too high.
Five and one, but we're still not even at the halfway point. We're banged up. You know, he's a realist, man.
Yeah, and I think he makes a point that a lot of people are going to make. It's a great win. Good to get to 5-1. Beat a team that's undefeated. But those injuries are just the thing that's in the back of your mind right now. And you're going to hope for good news. I'd say especially about Aqib Talib and Jerod Mayo. The problem is with Danny Amendola, with the way he went down, you don't have much thought that there might be some positive news in the sense that it might not be as serious as it could be. Hopefully, if it's along the lines of a concussion, it's whatever the most minor concussion is. And I know people say there is no such thing as a minor concussion, but you understand my point. On the scale, hopefully it is at the lower end, if that is the case with Danny Amendola. Back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Joe in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Joe?
Great, Scott. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I just have a few comments. You know, everybody is so gung-ho with Tom Brady, and I've been a diehard Patriot fan since 1977. And when he threw that interception to Edelman, of all people, I was
shocking
throwing
almost
things at the TV. I mean,
yeah.
Dobson is 6'4", as the commentator said. Why don't you try to stretch the field with Dobson being as tall and as athletic as he is? I know that he had some drops and so forth. That was the first comment I wanted to make. And the second comment is the speed-up offense. They tried to speed up the offense a little bit, and they seem to be somewhat successful, not as successful as other years, but they did show some success with that speed-up offense. And my third comment is they targeted Tompkins. I believe he only caught the ball three times in the game. I don't know, does he seem to be in the doghouse with Tom Brady or what the deal is? I know he made the big catch at the end. But,
you're right. He made three catches. He was targeted six times, and obviously the third catch and the sixth target was the most important one of the game. It seemed as if Aaron Dobson, at least for this week, was that second guy. We'll call him third guy, maybe behind Edelman and Amendola. But Aaron Dobson was second in the team in targets with 10 behind Edelman's 11. So I think, I'm not sure if Tompkins in the doghouse. You know, obviously, with Bill Belichick, you're not going to get a certain answer as to whether someone's in the doghouse or how his thinking is going. But yeah, it certainly looked like today that Tompkins got slotted down a bit. But hey, you make a game-winning catch in the end zone.
I couldn't be happier
right.
that we won. But what I'm most concerned with, besides the injuries, of course, is them picking up the blitz.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed that, what's his name, the Hawaiian number 47, made some very nice
Manui.
Manui, just on a short cutout to the sidelines, and there just seems to be screen passes wide open, especially when they were, you know, blitzing five or six people. And it just, I thought that with the quick passes, that could have been used against the blitzes. It was successful in the first half to some extent.
Yeah, Tom Brady was sacked five times today. That's obviously a number that's a little much higher than you would like, although the Saints came into play today with 15 sacks. So we expected to get the pressure from Rob Ryan's defense, and they did. And, you know, it's at times Patriots offense struggled. Those final four drives before the game-winning drive, mentioned the numbers were negative 2, 15, 4, and 0 yards. So,
right. And one last comment.
Yep.
I don't mean to hog the show here, but I've been listening to your show for years now, and everybody for the last 3 years has been pummeling the defense. kudos to the defense, even with all the injuries, except for that third down and 20 play. There's no way that should have happened. I'm sure Belichick is very upset about that play. I wouldn't want to be Dennard and Gregory in the film room next week.
All right, Joe, great call. Thanks.
Thank you.
I can't speak for this show for 3 years pummeling the defense because this is my first day involved with Patriots.com radio.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
I can't speak for that, but I think, though, the defense obviously is much improved this year, and it's getting its just due.
You know who I'll throw under the bus since he wasn't here? It was that Adam Jones who started this show.
Ah, Adam Jones, okay.
Yes, and he was really down on the defense for the first couple years we had this show. And then we started to come out of it a little bit at the tail end of last year. And now Bertrand, I think, is fully digging us out of that hole, that rut. But I'll make the argument that the defense themselves is digging themselves out of that kind of persona.
Yeah.
That we're just an offensive team.
And when you add a guy like Aqib Talib, who has been like Talib in recently? Ty Law is the most recent guy.
Exactly. That's the only guy you can really think of in the last 20, 25 years that has the same impact on the defense that Talib brings. And with that said, you know, you really hope as a Patriot fan now that the defense is finally starting to mature and get their sea legs under them, Scott, it's like, you lose your Mike guy, your middle linebacker, Gerard Mayo, who's the leader of that defense, who makes all the calls, gets everybody in the right spot, everybody lined up correctly, and you lose your number one cornerback, who's arguably behind Brady, And you could even make the argument he's the most important player to leave on this team at this juncture. You got to hope that, you know, you don't see a huge regression and that these guys aren't out that long, because it would be a shame with these young guys like, you know, Spikes and Hightower and Chandler Jones, who we talked to earlier, finally starting to get their sea legs.
855-PATS-500 if you want to get involved here on the Xbox One postgame show. And so far, the thing that I'm loving the most about the pregame and the postgame show, the calls, all over the place. Nobody's calling from New England. It's all over the place. So we go to Justin in Missouri. Hey, how you doing, Justin?
I'm doing great, guys. Really psyched up about the win. Just want to give a little bit of a thought right now. Trying to turn me down to like 50% volume.
Uh-oh. All right.
Ah!
I think we got that. We got that?
Just was... channeling my inner Howard. But, I mean, the last drive was great. You know, one thing I don't know if you said on your good section was Gostkowski had another.
Oh, good call, yeah.
You know, career-long field goal, I think.
54 yards, good. Yep.
The one thing that does concern me was the injury to Connolly. The team's really had a tough time, especially the last 2 weeks, in pass blocking. And, I mean, Cannon didn't do a great job. He had some good plays, but that's what worries me. Amendola, I kind of feel like he's going to be out in 2 weeks with this injury. It didn't look good at all. I mean, I didn't like the way he was standing up afterwards, but, you know, hopefully he can get better. Colley played good on the last drive, so maybe he can stand in for him.
Yeah, it's amazing that Austin Colley just steps in and, you know, right there and has a key catch. And you mentioned Amendola maybe out for a few weeks. If you told me right now, Danny Amendola out for a few weeks. Now, obviously, that's 2, 3. Maybe you could stretch it to 4. But let's say 3 weeks. I'd take that right now, because the way it looked, you fear the worst. So if you told me 2 weeks, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks till he's cleared. But the thing is, in 3 weeks, we have the Steelers game. They're not a tough opponent right now. Maybe leave him out an extra one. So
and the bye week is, what, week 10? Or is it week 9? Or am I off?
I was just looking at the next 3 games up. I'm not really sure where it falls.
Yeah, 3 more games, then the bye, yep.
Well, then, yeah, even better. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, man, Tompkins, great catch at the end. My last thought of the day.
All right, Justin, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
855-PATS-500 to get involved on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And we're compiling all your emails as well. We'll get to those later. webradio@patriots.com. And if you're on Twitter, I tweeted out that Rob Ryan face that just was all over the TVs. It's all over Twitter, all over Facebook. So you can go find that as well. The beautiful, not beautiful, but in an ironic way, Rob Ryan face. And I'm sure if you search for it, you can find it. Got to feel sort of bad for him, just the way things went there at the end. But again, it's his defense. He's making the play calls. But Tom Brady sometimes is borders on superhuman. And it's been good to see it come back a bit here in this type of situation. Back to the phone lines we go. We're going to head out to Denver, Colorado. We're going to talk to Kanye. What's up, Kanye?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing? This isn't... You probably get it all the time, right, Kanye? Yeah,
man. I tell you what, I grew up in Detroit,
uh-huh.
And so I follow all of Michigan. I'm a huge Michigan, University of Michigan football fan, so I follow
Tom Brady.
all the guys around. So like Ty Law and Tom Brady,
yep.
And you know Charles Woodson. But I tell you what, living out here in Denver, you know, listening to these fans every day. I work at a university, listening to these fans brag and talk. It's just a horrible thing. I went in the office Monday. I mean, last week when we lost to the Bengals, and my whole office was pampered with like Patriots stuff. And I try to tell these guys all the time. I think sometimes we get spoiled. It's only 5 games in, and I've just been listening to the radio and listening to other people talk. We got to give this time. We have to give this team time to develop. We're 5-1. We've turned the ball over. Tom Brady's only got what 8 touchdowns. In 5 games. The defense, I think, is playing outstanding. So, I listen to the few guys that's got on. I think that we're kind of hard, and I think there's some, you know, the negativity. We can pinpoint everything we want to point, but at the end of the day, man, we are 5-1, And I don't think we have a 5-1 team right now, but I think the coaching and the way that we put our guys in positions to win, Belichick and that other guy, the offensive coordinator,
Josh McDaniels.
I think those guys are doing a heck of a job. And who's ever coaching the defense? Man, this defense is 3 times better than what we've seen in the last what, 2 years or 3 years. The reason why we didn't win the last 2 Super Bowls is because the defense couldn't stop nobody at the end with the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
If you take this defense that we got right now and put that defense on the 2017 or even the 2019 when we lost to the Jets, I mean the Giants, or 2010 or 11 when we lost to the Giants, it wouldn't even. I think we would have won those last 2 Super Bowls. Does anybody disagree?
I mean, you're a play away, really, in both from winning.
A play away, but we didn't have guys like, we didn't have a Talib.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a Dinner. And I think those guys totally make a difference back there in the secondary. And when we look at our defense, that defense has been together for, what, about 5 or 6 years now?
Yeah.
They all pretty much got drafted together. So I just wanted to say, man, I think I'm the long-standing guy out here in Denver, Colorado, rooting for the Patriots. I'm going to keep rooting for them. And I keep trying to tell everybody, I say, you know, it's going to come down to Denver, and it's going to come down to New England. And the reason why we're going to beat Denver is because we actually run the ball. We actually are playing playoff football, run the ball, concentrate on running the ball, and then setting it up with the pass. Hey, I think Peyton Manning's a great regular season quarterback, but at the end of the day, he's 9-15 in the playoffs, and he's 0-4 in the cold weather.
Great points, Kanye.
Yeah, thanks. That's all I get to say.
All right, thanks for the call. Hang tough out there in Denver. I think November 23rd, he has that marked on his calendar. Broncos,
I think it's the 24th.
Patriots. November 24th. You're right. I think you're right. November 24th, Patriots and Broncos. See, you know that right off the top of your head, Kevin, because you have that circled as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know that date by heart.
I just sort of have to know when the games are.
That's a good point. Yeah, you do have to work every
when you're
game.
A team employee, you just kind of have these dates ingrained.
I just kind of float around. So, I mean, today, I don't even know what day today is.
That's true. You've had a long day.
I've had a long day.
Broadcasting on the airwaves of WEI this morning and then hopping over.
What is this? I'm on hour 12 now, hour 11.
It's a lot of broadcasting.
Sort of, yeah.
It's too much broadcasting for one day.
Let's be honest. It's a fairly easy job.
It's a cushy gig.
A game like this.
This one writes itself.
Right. Yeah. A game like this makes this job very easy. Kevin,
Josh counterpoint to McDaniels for Kanye. Did you think, and this is a question that I'll pose to all of you, you guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline and you guys listening live, did you think McDaniels was so great after that Kyle Arrington interception and the Patriots get the ball first and goal at the 9 and they run the ball into the line 3 times and kick a field goal?
Yeah, that was...
I mean, I was befuddled. I mean, you
interesting,
get...
Interesting, right.
Arrington makes a huge play. You're up 20-17. You're in the fourth quarter with about 10 minutes left. You have a chance to go for... maybe not quite the kill shot, but probably pretty close to the kill shot right there. If you punch it in and you make it 27-17 with about 8 minutes left, it's going to be an uphill battle for the Saints. But instead, you run the ball into the line 3 times with Brandon Bolden nonetheless, and you kick a field goal, you go up 23-17, and all of a sudden New Orleans marches right down, and all of a sudden you're trailing.
I mean, obviously you look at that and you say 3 points. It's 3 points that you didn't think they were going to get. You get the turnover, you get at least 3 points, but as you said, Kevin, that's a situation where you really have to, you put your foot on their throat and you try to get that touchdown. You go up by 10. Instead, you just get the field goal.
And I'll go even further. I wouldn't say that they weren't trying to score a touchdown. Obviously, that's the objective there. I think that what they probably saw was New Orleans spreading their defense out and only having a certain amount of men in the box. I'm not high enough to see what they had. I'm down low, so I couldn't really see the alignment. But they probably felt that they had a mismatch, and they had, you know, numbers in their favor in the box, and they felt like they could punch the ball in from the 9. But once it doesn't work twice, and you only get to, say, the 5, you can't tell me that on 3rd and goal from the 5, you know, the high percentage play for this offense is to run the ball there. You just can't tell me that. You know, I'll give you 1, I'll give you 2, but how can you not take at least 1 crack with one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game trying to get you a touchdown in that situation?
Yeah, it's a good point. And
that's all I'm throwing out there.
We got the phone lines full, so maybe some of these people waiting on the lines have some comments about that. So we'll go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, and here's Phil in North Carolina. Hey, Phil.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Can't complain. Can't complain. Good ending to the game today.
Yeah, great ending. I like to... It's kind of nice that Brady had the big play, but I got to give props to the defense because after that fourth... After they go four and out and the Saints were only in field goal range, that's easy for a defense to kind of be demoralized. And then Brady throws a pick. It's easy for the defense to give up, but they stood in there and they didn't have their top three defenders, so I was very impressed with them today.
Yeah, deservedly so. You should give praise to the defense right there because, like you said, I mean, again, these are professional athletes. They're not usually going to, you don't expect them to roll over. I put that in air quotes or kind of give up in a certain situation. But sometimes it's just human nature. Something like that happens and you just let up for a second and you give up a first. It's all New Orleans needed on that last drive was a first down. And I'm trying to cycle back to those two drives. The one after where they go for it on fourth down at their own 24. The Saints get the football.
Yep.
And they went three and out.
Yes, they ran the ball the first two times, forced New England to take timeouts, and then they threw a ball to Colston, trying to end the game there, which I don't blame them at all. On the plus side of the two-minute warning, Alphonso Dennard breaks it up, forces a Garrett Hartley field goal, and I don't fault Sean Payton right there is going for the kill shot. If Colston is somehow able to complete that pass, he never really had a chance in it. Dennard had blanket coverage. He made a great play on it. But they went for the kill shot right there.
So I talked about three and outs in that first half. They had two to end the game.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously one led to a field goal. But as Phil said, you got to credit the defense. So, Phil, you're right on there.
Yeah, and I think also giving Tlaib credit and the New England defense credit for shutting down Jimmy Graham all today. He wasn't at a factor. He was really not a factor today. So that was a great job by them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Aqib Tlaib did his job. Kyle Aronson stepped in, did the same thing. Jimmy Graham came up lame.
Let's go even further than just Graham. Colston.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point.
You know, there are two plus weapons that they have. You think of, when you think of the Saints, you think of Sproles, Colston, and Graham. Sproles got his yards today, Scott. I mean, he had a ton of return yards. I think he had almost 60 yards or more receiving. Probably had some rushing yards mixed in. He's a yardage machine, but he didn't get loose and make that big 40, 50-yard play, and Colston was relatively harmless.
Colston had
one catch for 11 yards,
targeted,
I think.
Targeted three times, one catch for 11
I mean,
yards.
So the Patriots did what they classically do. They focused on what the Saints do best with Colston and Graham, and they took it away, and they forced other guys to beat you. And the Saints almost had that happen with Stills, but it turned out well for the Patriots.
All right, Phil, thanks for the call. Enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, thank you. You too. Have a great night.
So the Patriots beat the Saints tonight 30-27 at Gillette Stadium to move it to 5-1 on the season. The Saints, their first loss of the year, so they are 5-1 as well. And the Patriots will take on the Jets next Sunday down at MetLife Stadium, the Meadowlands, New York, New Jersey, whatever you want to call it. That's next on the docket for the Patriots, an AFC East battle. Coming up next, though, here on the Xbox One postgame show, we will hear from head coach Bill Belichick and the quarterback, Tom Brady. That's coming up on the Xbox One postgame show. The Patriots beat the Saints here tonight, 30-27.
The Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show with Mark Bertrand. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Postgame Show. Scott Sudikoff here with you, filling in for Mark Bertrand here tonight. The Patriots beat the New Orleans Saints by a final score of 30-27. Tom Brady leads the offense on a 70-yard drive in the final minute. The 15-yard touchdown pass to Kenbrell Tompkins for the go-ahead and the winning score to beat New Orleans and go to 5-1 on the season. Quickly, right before I go back to the phone lines, just a quick note. We mentioned Jimmy Graham, no catches. And I want to thank my buddy Chris Price from WEEI.com for this little tidbit. Jimmy Graham held without a catch for the first time since October 31st, 2010, midway through his rookie year. So Jimmy Graham, zero catches today. He did leave the game late, looked like a lower body injury, not exactly sure. He did miss, I think it was the last two drives, potentially, for the Saints, and that could have played a role, but Patriots did a good job of obviously shutting him down. Aqib Talib and then Kyle Arrington and the defense as a whole. 855-PATS-500. We'll go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll talk to John in, I'm guessing, L.A. is Los Angeles and not Louisiana. So, John in L.A., how you doing?
It is indeed L.A.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. That's great situational football. I think Bill Belichick would agree. I think it was very easy to second guess going for it on fourth down and not making it. But that was an underrated move, I thought.
It was definitely interesting. I saw some thoughts, popping up from different reporters on Twitter saying maybe you go for it there because if you don't convert it, it's a short field for Breeze, so not as much room to waste time. And if the Saints had scored a touchdown there, it still would have been an 8-point game. So you still would have had a chance to score a touchdown and go for two. So, it's one of those situations. You go back to that 4th-and-2 in Indianapolis. If that play worked, everyone would have loved it. People would have loved the move.
That play did work.
Yeah, it's okay. You're right. It's a good point.
He got the first down. But,
yeah.
But I also just wanted to say, I thought overall, though, the play calling was disappointing. And I don't want to be a downer, but it's a great win. But I agree with people who are complaining about the, when we got the ball the first time with the 2 minutes not running, or with the 3 minutes not running with Ridley. I thought it was a huge mistake.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin was just talking about it a few minutes ago. After the interception, you have third and goal at the 5, and you just run it right in the line.
It's so unlike this team to not go for the jugular in that situation.
Yep.
Yeah, it was
I'm with you, John. I'm with you.
All right, Kevin. Hey, you know, those two touchdowns, the one for New Orleans and the one for us at the end, were, I mean, a lot of people were complaining about the coverage by Dennard, but he was very close to getting the ball. It was so close, and it was the same with the other, with our touchdown.
Yeah,
you just wasn't tall enough.
I think people were buzzing play. Around all day.
Sometimes people just make plays, and I think that was the case in both of those.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, John.
Well, it went from a terrible loss to a great win. I'm happy.
Yeah,
with that.
It turned so quickly.
Great. Yeah.
All right, John.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. Enjoy the rest of your night out there in L.A.
All right. Thanks.
Patriots win 30-27 over the Saints. You're listening to the Xbox One post-game show. Scott Sudikoff with you. As the Patriots go to 5-1 on the season. We promised you some sound, and we have Bill Belichick coming your way in just a second. Just right off the bat, though, you got to love what Bill has to say to the media. You know, if you know about journalists and writing stories, that you try to get ahead on the story. You try to have three-quarters of it done. Well, with that play with 5 seconds left, I think a lot of guys upstairs were delete, 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 and rewriting a bunch of paragraphs.
That's so ridiculous.
And Bill Belichick had a nice little comment about that in his postgame presser.
Oh, sorry if you had to rewrite some of those stories there at the end. Well, what a football game. I feel like that took about 5 years off my life. You know, really proud of our team. We played some, obviously that's a good football team, number one. Saints are a real good football team. And, you know, it was a great 60 minutes battle. They made a lot of plays. You know, we made some plays. And, you know, in the end, we made a big one similar to the one that they made to put them ahead. So, you know, it just felt like our team really battled. We played situational football at the end, you know, holding them to a field goal, getting the ball back, you know, getting down there at the end and being able to get the ball down the field and have a couple of chances there at the end to throw into the end zone. We only needed one, but, you know, we probably had time for two plays on that. So, and once again, it's all about the players. You know, they stepped up and made the play. I mean, Brady, Edelman, KT, obviously. You know, Austin Colley stepped in there with a big catch. So, you know, those guys all. There's so many guys that it made big plays for us today. You just can't rattle them all off. So, it was a good team win. I thought we really, you know, prepared hard for this game. Obviously, after we didn't have a good outing last week in Cincinnati. Thought the players prepared hard, they practiced hard, and you know, it's satisfying to go out there and beat a good team like New Orleans today. But you know, you'll hear from them plenty. They're pretty good. Yeah, well, I mean, just try to do the best you can on that. I mean, I thought, you know, obviously, you know, Zoe had a tough play there, you know, in the end zone on Stills, and then came back and, you know, made a huge play. You know, the incomplete pass there on was second down, right? Yeah, I think it was second down. You know, then that saved us a timeout. You know, it was a great play. He went up and, you know, made an excellent play on the ball. So, you know, once again, it's the players making the plays. You know, I mean, I think managing the clock is you know, you just do what you do. You have so much time, so many timeouts. You just try to get the most out of it. But it's the players that are out there making the plays. And, you know, we played good up front, be able to get the ball back. And then, you know, offensive line, our receivers, obviously our quarterback, you know, did a good job, you know, going down the field after we, you know, had not moved the ball very well overall in the second half. You know, that was a huge drive we needed the most. So. You know, all the credit goes to the players. They're the ones that made the plays.
There was a messy game early, but what the effort of the team, you know, basically was shattered.
Yeah, I mean, right, there's two good football players right there. Keeb really competed hard, and, you know, in the end, I don't think either one of them were on the field. So, you know, that was ended up, know, but both guys ended up being out. But, you know, it was a great battle and a great matchup. I thought Talib, you know, battled him. He just went toe-to-toe with him the whole, you know, the whole way. And so it was a good, you know, it was a good matchup.
So could you talk about your decision putting a feet on Graham and also the fact that you played so much for the number 5 and 6 defensive backs?
Well, that's because they played so much of the game in 3 receivers. Well, really, in 4 receivers, because you got to count Graham as a receiver. So even when they're in there with him, you know, in 2 tight ends, it's really 1 tight end. So, you know, they got a lot of receivers on the game. Luckily, we have, you know, some depth in the secondary and guys like Logan Ryan. And, you know, Daron Harmon came in for us and you know, gave us some key plays in the second half, you know, that, you know, they weren't in there in the first half. And then, you know, when Aqib got hurt and we went to some 6 DB packages, you know, those guys came in and did a good job and competed really well. So, but they had a lot of receivers on the field. So, you know, we felt like we, you know, wanted to get some defensive backs out there to try to match. And then they started running the ball. They hurt us on some runs. And we had, you know, right there at the start of the third quarter, they had some successful running plays. And, you know, we had to, you know, we had to battle that problem too. I mean, they can hurt you in so many different ways, not just throwing the ball. They can run it too.
So, Kyle Arrington, also, he had the interception, he had a breakup earlier.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys. But, you know, Devin, who went from safety to corner, Kyle, you know, the interception, a couple big tackles there in the secondary, too, after they, you know, hit a couple of those runs that, you know, they got through the line. Luckily, they weren't, you know, 50-yarders. They were only, you know, 12, 15 yards, whatever they ended up getting. So, you know, tackling them in the secondary and just really all those guys. I mean, you can't say enough about that because it was all of them. It wasn't just one guy. We had to cover all those receivers.
Bill, what was your thought process on your own 24 going 4th and 6? Was it that you wanted to give them a short field?
We were trying to pick up the first down. It was 4th and whatever it was, 4 or 5 and, you know, 6, whatever it was. I mean, if it was 4th and 13 or something like that, we wouldn't have done that. But it was 4th and, you know, we felt like we had a shot at it, and I think we did have a shot at it. We just couldn't make the play. But I know it was only a little over 2 minutes ago at that point, right?
329.
Okay, yeah, that's right. 320. So, yeah, we felt like if we didn't make it, we were going to have to stop them, and then we need a touchdown. You know, so.
Bill, can you talk about the confidence that you had during the ball in the having it be, would you name one of the
We have confidence in all our backs, so whichever one of them's in there, we have confidence in. If we don't put a player on the field, we don't have confidence in. Let's put it that way. I don't care what the guy plays or who it is, or if they're out there, we have confidence in them. If we don't, then they're not on the team, they're not on the field, they're not active in one or the other.
Longo Vonville lost around the health of DS, and that means 1-4 final drive. Guy who signed 10 days ago. The reason why you have him active for that sort of situation where someone goes down, and someone step up and know what he's doing, even though he's working around.
Yeah, that was huge, and you know, we just felt like on that last drive, we went with the 4 receiver group, try to get a little bit more speed on the field, and you know, and then when Julian, you know, kind of came up after he made a catch over the middle, then, you know, Austin stepped in there and, you know, made a huge play. So yeah, absolutely, he's worked hard. Chad O'Shea, you know, receiver coach, and Austin worked very hard on the assignments and plays, formations, you know, and all that. It's you know, those guys spend, I don't know, it'd be like 2.5 hours a day after everybody else does, just, you know, going over stuff, walking through it, and it really paid off today. So, you know, you got to give Austin a lot of credit for coming in here and being ready to go, like you said, really at the most critical time in the game.
Coach, talk about the touchdown play and what it means to Kendall, and, you know, they've been under some fire. Talk about that.
Hey, KT's played good for us since we started the OTAs, and he's made plays and catches like that in practice, and we have a lot of confidence in him. Obviously, Tom did because he went to him, but he gave him a good high ball. And, you know, KT's got good timing, was able to go up and get the ball and, you know, come down with the play. So, I think those of us that are around KT on a daily basis, you know, aren't surprised to see him make a play like that because he's made plenty of them. But, you know, we're gonna have to keep making more, and, you know, we still obviously there's a lot of things we can do better in the passing game, protection, throwing, catching, route running and so forth. I mean, I don't think we're where we need to be, but we were on that play. So that was really as good situational football by Tom. You know, he got the ball out of there early, and had that been incomplete, you know, we still would at least had another play, another chance at you know, throwing to the end zone, there a chance to win. So, you know, it's just try to give the receiver a chance, and he made it. Well, they go all teams like that, you know. But hey, Tom's a great competitor, and you know everybody's got a you have a short memory in this game. Same thing with Zoe on the you know on the long pass and then the breakup on the you know on the go route on in front of our sideline. You know you got to have a short memory. You got to come back and play the next play. And look, we all have bad plays out there. You know, every one of us missed blocks, missed tackles, bad calls, bad throws, drops, whatever it is. But you know the competitors come back and you know keep competing and you know come back and get it the next time. So nobody's going to play a perfect game. We know that. But you just got to keep competing and try to eliminate, make as few of those mistakes as possible. I don't know. You'd have to ask them that. But we just felt like it gave us the tempo that we were looking for. We worked on it all week. And, you know, it felt like it gave us the tempo that we were looking for. And it was, you know, I don't know. You'd have to ask them what, you know, what they thought about it. But we felt it wasn't as much about them as it was about us, you know, playing fast, getting to the line, being confident in what we were doing and getting it up tempo and just, you know, feeling like we want to go out there and, you know, try to be more aggressive. And so that's why we did it. Yeah, huge. Yeah, that was a great kick. Yeah, Steve kicked the ball well, kicked off well. And Ryan punted well, too. You know, our specials did a good job. I mean, Sproles is obviously a hard guy to handle. He's one of the best returners in the league. And, you know, we covered well and we kicked well. So, you know, it's a good job by all those guys. Look, he's obviously one of the best players in the league. He's good in all four quarters.
Bill, I was curious about after you had to pick Barrington, you had several runs in a row.
No, we were running plays that we felt like were good plays. You know, we ended up, you know, earlier in the game, as you know, down there, they dropped everybody off into coverage. And, you know, we stood there and held the ball for about 10 seconds. And, you know, everybody was double nose, you know, and we felt like we had some good opportunities in the running game. And we did. We had some good plays. We just, you know, we ended up, what was it, second and first and 10. And we were first and going to 9. And we gained like 1 yard. And we were down to the 3. And we thought we had a you know good play there on third down, and the end stunted inside, and we just couldn't get off track. So, you know, but look, we had trouble throwing the ball down there too, with you know with all their three man rush coverages. So we you know mixed it in there, mixed some runs in there.
You learned something about the team, with a team like this. You learned something more about them than you didn't know.
Well, you know, look, it was a great effort today. I thought everybody, you know, we competed right to the end. You know, we competed right to the end, but we got to do it every week. We can't, you know, have one of these weeks and then, you know, go out and not have one the next week. We just gotta be consistent. So, you know, as great as today was, we gotta turn the page. We gotta get ready to go down to New York against the Jets. You know, we know what kind of battle that's gonna be, and you know, we'll start to see what kind of team we have, how consistent we can be. And we got two big division games in a row here. So going down to New York on the road, we know it's always tough. You know, we'll find out and start, you know, putting these games together. And, you know, we got some guys banged up. We'll have to be able to count on everybody and, you know, fight through some bumps and bruises and all that. And, you know, we'll see where we're at. But, you know, we'll get tested here. We got a lot of good games, tough games coming up. And, you know, we'll have to answer the bell.
So you uniquely recently built your offense around two tight ends and a slot receiver. Now you're not going to be able to
Well, I mean, I think every year you're in somewhat of a transition offensively or defensively, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, we've been there before, and I'm sure we'll be there again. You know, I don't think anybody returns all 11 starters very often in this league, and that's sooner or later you either lose guys or somebody, you know, gets hurt or something happens. So, you know, it's a transition league. You know, you got to find a way to win every year and every week. And so that's all we're trying to do is just trying to find a way to win. We're not trying to replicate anything from some other year or team or whatever it is. We're trying to find a way for the 2013 team to win. And that's whatever that is, offense, defense, special teams, whatever those 45 guys can do, that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to be, you know, anything other than that.
Final question. You said Tom's good in all four quarters, but in that situation at the end, the percentage of winning must have been high. Is there anything you pulled out of that?
No, I mean, he made a couple of good throws. Looked like we had a shot at the seam pass there down on the one, and then, you know, in the end cut. But, You know, we had good protection. That's number one. He did a good job of reading the coverages and threw the ball very accurately. He gave the receivers a chance to make the play, and, you know, we made enough of them. So, I mean, that's what he does. That's what he gets paid for. That's why he's so good. He does a good job throwing the ball accurately and making good decisions. And he made several of them on that drive. Okay. All right. Thank you.
That was Bill Belichick in his post-game press conference after the Patriots beat the Saints tonight 30-27. You're listening to the Xbox One post-game show. And if you listen to any press conference from Bill Belichick, it's hard to really tell if the team won or lost, except for the beginning when he cracked a joke. And that was nice. He got the forced laughter out of everybody in attendance in the media. It was pretty funny. But probably some of the people were forcing a little bit of laughter. Bill is actually known to be a pretty funny guy, so it's nice to see him lighten up the mood with a joke there right from the top about how everybody probably had to rewrite their stories with the way the game ended today as Tom Brady leads the Patriots on a 70-yard drive to win it. A 15-yard pass to Kenbrell Tompkins, the game-winning touchdown with 5 seconds left. We promised we'd get to some of your emails at webradio@patriots.com, and we will do that now. First email comes from Tyler Edwards, and he's actually just asking about that last play. I'd like to see maybe Kevin's opinion on this as well. You just surprised the Saints chose to run the ball out of the end zone with 5 seconds left on that last kickoff. I mean, in that situation, I mean, yeah, maybe you kneel on it, and you have one play from the 20-yard line. You probably have a better chance of running a touchdown back though on the kick than having an 80-yard play.
The field is probably a little bit more stretched. You got people kind of running all over the place, and I think you have a better. I mean, it's not like Drew Brees could reach the end zone. Let's get that straight from 80 yards away.
Right.
So
it's got to be a hook and ladder.
Either way, it's going to have to be a play with a bunch of crazy laterals, and I just feel like you have a better chance during the chaos of a kickoff to pop somebody free. Than you do during a set play, first and 10 at the 20 right there. On that note, Scott, something we haven't talked about. How about that crazy attempted throwback on the punt in the first half with Julian Edelman trying to throw the ball backwards to Tlaib? Now, it looked like a crazy play, and it didn't work because Edelman got hit as he was throwing the ball back. But the play was blocked, and if the pass was made inaccurate, Tlaib was going places.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole sideline was sealed by the Patriots special teams unit. They just weren't able to execute that exchange between Edelman and Tlaib.
You don't see that type of play from the Patriots very often. You don't see much trickery. No,
almost never.
Almost never, right.
Especially on special teams like that.
Yeah. So it was, you know, sometimes throwing a wrinkle, and as you said, Kevin, it looked like it would have worked if it just connected on that throwback. Email from Tom Bigwood, as he says, first things first, thought the game was outstanding. The momentum swung to both teams on multiple times, which is very true. Thought the rookies played okay. Obviously, the last second TD shone a better light on them. Good use of the word shone there. Shone a better light on them, but they were no worse than Edelman, Amendola, and Bolden for receiving. It's a good point. Everyone seemed to have a few of the drops. It wasn't just Dobson. If Bolden had a drop, there were some balls that Edelman maybe in the past would have had. Same with Amendola before he got hurt. Drops are an issue, but I'm sure that it's something that will eventually disappear. We can only hope. Human and Ridley got us off to a fantastic start, and that's very true. Stephen Ridley had the 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, first half? Was it first quarter or first half? They were both in the second quarter, so first half, Stephen Ridley, and overall he ran for 96 yards on 20 carries. That's just under 5 yards, and that's fantastic. It's what you want. And so he came back off of the injury and looked really good in running the ball. Another email from Jose. It's the subject, in your face Saints defense. Anthony, oh, it says Jose on his email, but now he's Anthony from San Diego. My favorite part of this win was that during the telecast by Fox, they showed the Saints celebrating Lewis's interception as if they were raising the Lombardi Trophy. A little premature, don't you think? Very true. The Saints needed one more first down. They didn't get it. And that's what you get for celebrating too early, which made the Saints defense look like clowns, and then expletive deleted the Jets from Anthony C. Next email from Huey Clark, asking how far can the Patriots go? Pretty much asking us, I mean, how that simple question, how far can they go? The team is 5-1, and we know who the good and bad teams are as of right now in the NFL. And he says, at the start of the season, I thought we would make it to the postseason just because the rest of the teams in our division are so poor. But I didn't think we would get much further. I would have been happy enough considering the squad we have. However, now that we're 5-1, Gronk still to come back. Brady proving that he hasn't lost anything, as well as looking solid defensively and the offense improving with every game. I think we have a legitimate chance of making it to the Super Bowl this year. I don't think we are anywhere near as good as the Broncos or Seahawks, but this team keeps surprising me. Just like to hear your thoughts. Thanks. And that's Huey from Dublin, Ireland. Yeah, right now, I mean, if at the beginning of the season you told me the Patriots were going to be 5-1, obviously you take that. You say, great. Oh, the loss is to Cincinnati. Okay, maybe you thought the loss would be to New Orleans or, you know, pick another game on maybe the Falcons. You lose the game to Cincinnati, you're 5-1. You're in that position where you thought you were going to be. You have a game-and-a-half lead for first place in the AFC East. How far can this team go? I mean, it might just be a matter of this team is going to make the playoffs, I still think, no matter what at this point, unless more injuries even more injuries have to happen, I think, for this team to fall far enough.
We have to see how significant the ones are today first.
And see how long.
So you see what the timetables are for these guys.
You know, see what the injuries are. You know,
if you're going to tell me, just to play devil's advocate, if you're going to tell me to leave Mayo, these guys are done for the year.
Oh well,
I would say
right.
Slow your roll on the playoff time.
All right. We definitely, hopefully, let's not even think about that. That's and you brought up Jerod Mayo, and we do have an update on him. Tommy Curran of CSNNE.com tweeted, this was about almost an hour ago, Jerod Mayo left the stadium with the right arm in a sling. So it looked like a shoulder injury, a right arm injury. In fact, when it happened, it didn't seem like there was that much contact. Maybe his arm got a bit hyperextended, and obviously we'll hopefully find out that it's nothing too serious in the coming days, but Jerod Mayo leaving the stadium today with his right arm in a sling. And speaking of other tweets, that some news, and a caller earlier talked about the no huddle and how it worked. According to Chris Price of WEEI.com, Patriots were in the no huddle today 53% of the time, a season high. And he notes that the last time the Patriots ran that much no huddle was in 2011 against Dallas. And who was the defensive coordinator for Dallas in 2011? The same man that the D coordinator today of the New Orleans Saints, Rob Ryan. So, Bill Belichick, the Patriots offense, Josh McDaniels, so maybe something that they know about the Rob Ryan defense is you run that no huddle as much as you can. 53% of the time, the Patriots today ran the no huddle.
You know what they say, Sudi? 53% of the time, it works every time.
And it worked out today. I mean, in the end, the end of the game, I mean, that's classic no huddle. Obviously, you go no huddle, and that's the type of situation, that two-minute type of drill. But the offense was in flow, was in motion, and they able to march down the field 70 yards for that game-winning touchdown.
In the end, it was the Pats come marching in.
The Pats, look at that. You are firing on all cylinders. Cha-ching. I think on that note, we'll take a break, but coming up real soon, you will hear from the quarterback.
More Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand after this quick timeout.
The machine's stuck. Hang on.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation. The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark on the Ace Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Patriots postgame show live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Mark Bertrand is on assignment this weekend.
I love that line, by the way.
I love you, because what is he doing?
It's very 60 minutes of
you. We don't want to tell. We could. It's really not that.
No. We're too professional for that. We're not going to sell him down the river.
He is on assignment, although, again, I mentioned earlier he was tweeting and he was watching the game. So whatever assignment he was on, he finished. But successfully, I assume. He'll be back.
Make him sound like he's on Mission Impossible or something like that.
Well, it's one of those simple things. He'll be brought back up. He'll be reactivated next week. I'll go back to the practice squad.
So he's like Marquise Cole all of a sudden?
Apparently I'm Marquise.
You
apparently.
Could be Marquise Cole.
So I will go back to the practice squad. I'll wait in the wings. I'll wait for my turn again. And if it happens, I will bring the heat.
Scott
Sudikoff. I'll bring a good game.
The new Ray Ventrone.
The new?
Or Ross Ventrone, hey, whatever the hell.
Ray or
whatever one it was.
Ray or Ross.
They're interchangeable.
This is the Xbox One post-game show. Patriots beat the Saints tonight 30-27 in comeback fashion. Vintage Tom Brady with the final drive, 70 yards in about a minute, and the 15-yard touchdown pass to Kenbrell Tompkins for the go-ahead score. Webradio@patriots.com, reading some of your emails now at the tail end of our post-game show here today. I mentioned, obviously, Danny Amendola. That's one of the injuries that come out of this game that you're obviously worried about. It looked as if he was out. He looked like he was out before he hit the ground. His arms were limp. Hard to explain. It wasn't so much that fencing, that fencing position when they're on their back, but his arms were just kind of planted in the ground, and he was just face first and looked as if he was out. Got up, was very woozy, it looked, and sort of not knowing where he was, out of the game immediately. Got announced a few minutes later, head not coming back. And as you would expect, fans were booing, seeing the replay. At first glance, yeah, it looked like a pretty bad hit. Seeing the replays, though, first of all, as Ian Fife on the email points out, and a very good point, it was an end-around play, so Amendola was a running back. So not a defenseless receiver or anything like that. He was a running back. Running down the sideline, he lowered his shoulder. I don't know who the defender was that hit him off the top of my head, but that player lowered his shoulder. It seemed like shoulder contact first, and then the head followed later, and maybe some helmet to helmet, but not really direct hit. And you don't need a direct hit, obviously, to be concussed. You snap your head back on any type of hit. You could be hit directly in the chest, and you could snap your head back. You could rattle around enough, and you can still have a concussion. As Ian points out, the rule of helmet to helmet contact does not apply to running backs in the process of carrying the ball or making a block. So that probably plays into the reason why there wasn't a penalty on that play, at least against the hit. There was a penalty on that play that kind of wiped out what Amendola had done on the play. So I think it was a good no call in the situation. I don't think there'll be any type of suspension or fine for that hit from the Saints on Danny Amendola. And you just have to hope that he is not concussed too badly, because I'd be shocked if he wasn't, at the very least, the lowest end of the concussion scale, at the very least, doesn't have that. And again, I mentioned earlier, I know there's no such thing as a minor concussion. In the end, right now, concussions at any level are a big deal. So hopefully for Danny Amendola, it could be something where a week or two, and he could be back out on the field. And you have to give him a ton of credit. He came in with the stigma of being injury-prone, not being able to get on the field. His injury last year could have killed him. He broke his clavicle, and normally when you break your clavicle, I'm not a doctor, but the bone breaks outward, out of your body, that way. His clavicle, his collarbone broke into his chest, into his body, where it could have punctured something, namely his heart, his aorta. And so you know, I look at that injury, and that's a contact injury. I mean, that happens. Players get hurt. And then this year, so far with the groin injury, you saw him play with that injury a couple of times, and he played today. And it's coming out that, you know, one half of his groin, and I know this sounds awful, one, if you're a man. Actually, if you're a female, too, if you tear your groin, I'm sure it doesn't feel good either. One half is torn, and the other half is injured as well. So he's walking around, probably waddling around with that type of injury. So Danny Amendola just really couldn't get a break, it seems like now. And we'll find out probably in the coming days the severity of the injury today. And like I said, it looks like, at the very least, it has to be a concussion. Just what type, how severe of concussion. You know, you see a guy like Austin Colley who came, he's dealt with, how many concussions has Austin Colley had? Four? Five?
God knows.
I mean, I might be overstating it. He's had a ton. One of those guys, he was a great receiver with the Colts, and he looked, you know, and then things just kind of derailed. When he came in and made a catch on that last drive and got hit, I cringed. He got hit, and I'm thinking, oh God, he's not getting up, because, you know, that's been his career. And I mean, you got to feel for the guy. Obviously, he wants to play the sport that he loves as much as possible. And you know, they always say NFL players only have a certain amount of earning years in their life. And he's out there and he's trying to play the game. But I'm just afraid that, you know, one more hit and, you know, you don't know for Austin Colley. So my heart skipped a beat, especially with Danny Amendola earlier in the game going out with a head injury, excuse me. Don't know if it's a concussion. And the same with Dan Connolly earlier in the game. He left with a head injury. So it could be a couple of concussion-type injuries possible for the Patriots. I had one other email I definitely wanted to read, and trying to find it again. Mentioned the Amendola hit. I think I mentioned this to Kevin. The other email that I wanted to talk about, if you can remember, I talked to him. Oh, here it is. Yes. Out of these several important injuries, we touched on this earlier. What is the most important injury? Amendola, Mayo, or Tlaib? We'll go with those three.
Yeah, so let's vote, Sudi. What do you think?
I mean, I know we probably want to try to disagree on this and have a good back and forth.
Well, let's see if we do disagree on it.
I thought you gave your answer potentially earlier, but I would go with the way Aqib Tlaib has been playing.
Yeah, I agree.
And being the guy that, you know, the first cornerback since Ty Law, that you go, all right, you take Vincent Jackson, you take Jimmy Graham, you take him, you stay with him.
I agree.
The first one, or at least the first, I'm sure they've tried it. I know that, I'd be positive that they've tried it, but they haven't had a guy since Ty Law who you'd be successful with.
Who you're going to purposefully throw away from, right. Put it that way. You're going to look to the other side of the field.
And you have to look at that. The defense has been secured in the secondary, yep, with Aqib Tlaib. If you're holding Jimmy Graham to zero, yes, catches, you are going to have a good chance to win. Now, obviously, they were very close to losing this game,
mm-hmm,
with that happening. But they were in a position to win because of situations like that.
And much like Vince Wilfork, who in the middle eats up space and a lot of times will command a double-team block, he frees up other players to make plays. Tlaib does the same by isolating Tlaib on one of the other team's best receivers, or in this case, tight ends, it enables you to roll coverage and help elsewhere where it is needed. And that makes the Patriots a strong defense. Another thing we might disagree on, Scotty, is when you're looking at the three, we'll say, big injuries, the Tlaib, the Mayo, and the Amendola, would you argue that Mayo is the second most important, given the way the Patriots have somehow eked out wins without Amendola on the field?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you because
I think it goes Tlaib, Mayo, then Amendola, just because the Patriots have proven that they can win without Amendola.
You're winning without Amendola.
It's not pretty, Scott, and certainly they're a better team with Amendola on the field, but they've proven that they can win without Danny Amendola. They have not proven that they can win without Aqib Tlaib and without Jerod Mayo this year.
Yeah, so I would, if you had to make a 1-2 and a 3 to rate the most important injuries, Tlaib, Mayo, you might even say Tlaib and Mayo are 1A, 1B, and Amendola 2.
Yes.
You don't want to lose any of the three players.
Yeah, I mean, Amendola.
Obviously.
You know, you could argue they don't win that Buffalo game week one without him and the amazing catches he made on that last drive. He had over 100 yards receiving on the day. Was an absolute stud. Played hurt. You know, showed the grit and determination that we want to see here in New England. But since then, he's either been dinged up or he's been pretty much a non-factor. And you look at, you know, what Mayo means to this defense in terms of his responsibilities, being the Mike linebacker in the middle, getting everybody lined up, making sure that they're in a good spot to move forward with each and every play. And, wow, Stephen Drew just booted a ball. Unbelievable.
Yeah, if...
sorry about that, I'm distracted. The Red Sox are imploding.
They're being no-hit again through three innings if you're not
watching. For those of you Patriots fans who hate the Red Sox, you must be enjoying this.
Yeah, it's.
But for most of us
I'm
who like
choking on all the strikeouts right now.
Yeah, for most of us who like the Red Sox, it's pretty painful to watch sitting in here doing this show, just watching them whiff left and right, and now boot balls, kick balls all around the infield.
That's why I'm positioned perfectly where the TV is right at my side, peripheral vision, so I really can't totally see unless I turn. But you are looking directly at a TV, and you are just.
It's burning holes in my retinas back here watching them boot the ball around.
Let's get some positive Patriots numbers out there. Here's some numbers for you to chew on. Since the beginning of 2003, the Patriots are 31-4 in regular season games following a loss. So the Patriots do a very good job of not going on losing streaks. Obviously, you can extend that and see, you know, obviously, they've been on losing streaks, but if you're 31-4 after a loss, you're not going on many extended losing streaks. So thank you to Patriots.com for that one, by the way, on Twitter. And if you don't follow at Patriots.com, then
you should do it.
Probably should be.
You'll learn something.
You will learn. Hey, I learned that. And then there are some other numbers that fans know about, but maybe you don't know the breadth of them. Is that the right word? B-R-E-A-D-T-H? The overall scope?
Yes.
36-8 in October.
Amazing.
Since 2003. I think this is since Gillette Stadium opening, I believe, all these numbers.
Okay.
36-8 in October. 21-1 at home. This is just the month of October, which in the grand scheme is early in the season, but every game counts.
I'm trying to think of the loss. It's going to bug me for a long time.
I think I could throw it out to you right now.
Give me a hint.
It's in 2000. It's the first year, and it's either the Denver game or the Green Bay game.
Okay.
Where they lost a couple, the 9-7 year. One of those games had to be in October. And we talked about this on the pregame social when Paul mentioned, hey, the Patriots will be wearing their blue uniforms today. Well, obviously, because they wear them, every home game except for a few here and there. This was the little experiment, I believe, in 2003 where they went with the all blue. The blue jerseys, they went with the away pants. I think they lost both the games at home that they wore the jerseys to the Packers and the Broncos, and I don't think we ever saw it again. So that's little flashbulb memories from 10 years ago. So I'm going to have to say one of those losses with Denver or Green Bay in October of 03. How about 76-15 at Gillette all time and 20-4 against the NFC? So the Patriots enjoy Gillette Stadium, which we all know, and they enjoy it a lot in October.
Yeah, it was a very empty Gillette Stadium at the end today.
You know, I go back and forth with going after fans for things like that.
It is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it, Scott.
Well, but the argument here is, how do you leave the game before it's been... I know that it didn't look good, and the Saints had the ball.
No, it did not look good on numerous occasions.
But it wasn't sewn up. The Saints needed... I already mentioned this. They got the field goal. Even if they had a touchdown, it still was an 8-point game.
Yes.
Okay. So then they throw the interception. Brady throws the interception. It's still plus 2 minutes at that point. Patriots had one timeout and the 2-minute warning after the interception. Saints did not get a first down. They needed a first down to win that game. They did not get it. And then that's what happens. Tom Brady comes down the field. So how do you leave the game?
I get it, but, you know, serves those people right for missing a great moment that, you know, several thousand fans
and, you know, on the flip side,
forever.
On the flip side, most fans pay their hard-earned money for the tickets, and they have every right to do.
And it'll be one of those games, Scott, like you said, that in like 5, 6, 7 years when Brady rides off into the sunset, and you're looking back on his career, it'll be like, you know, I was there. I saw that. I saw him go 70 yards in just over 60 seconds with no timeouts left against an undefeated team and pull one out of the fire.
Well, speaking of Tom Brady, mentioned the 70-yard drive to win the game, the 15-yard touchdown pass to Kenbrell Tompkins, and let's see what the quarterback had to say in his post-game press conference.
Tom Brady, where's that, Tom Brady? All right, here's the deal. When you threw the chip at the end of the game,
yeah.
Did you think it was old? And did you have any idea you could get the ball back again?
Well, I thought we talked about that. You know, before the drive, we said, you know, even going on, if we missed a fourth down play, we could still get the ball back at some point and go down and score. And then our defense made a great stop. And, you know, they punted the ball to 25-30. And, you know, guys made a bunch of plays there at the end. Guys made big-time catches, and it was just a great game.
Describe the touchdown pass to Tompkins with 10 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, well, we had everybody going to the end zone. And he kind of snuck into the corner and, you know, put it up there for him, and he came down and made a great catch. So there was a lot of great catches there at the end. Julian, the seam ball to start the drive, and then Austin had a fourth down catch. You know, AD came back, caught an in cut. That was a big play. So that was a great situational football and a great win and against a really good team. So we're 5-1. We're just grinding, and, you know, hopefully we can use this, you know, as a little bit of momentum going into next week.
Tom, what does it say about the confidence in the receivers, your young guys, especially after a lot of drop passes once again tonight, keep on going back, especially in the finals?
Well, I have confidence in those guys. I mean, it hasn't, you know, we're just working hard every day to try to get better, and certainly not perfect out there. I think we're definitely, you know, just, like I say, I always say grinding. We're just trying to get better every day in practice and every game. And there's these situations that are coming up, and we're learning from them. And you know, the receivers have done a great job. You know, Mike Humand really has stood in there and done a great job for us at the tight end spot. And you know, the backs all ran hard, so it was a great all around win. Yeah. Well, he's earned the confidence of everybody. So, you know, we had a situation where, you know, put him on the field and see what he could do and see if he could help us win a game, and he did. So that was, you know, a great thing. That's what we need. That's what football teams are all about. And you use all 53 guys on the roster to try to move the ball down the field and get in the end zone one way or another. And today it took us 59 minutes and 55 seconds. So, you know, we needed all the time, and it took all the time. And great way to finish.
You spoke on Wednesday about the need for a complimentary win and to be consistent. Maybe you weren't as consistent as you would have liked with him because of the complimentary nature of the game. You got it back.
Yeah. You know? Defense made some huge stands. They played great when they needed to, and that's a really good offense. Teams had some scoring a lot of points. So, you know, they've been playing good all year offensively. You know, we still got to do a better job getting the ball in the end zone. And like I said, there's a lot of things to improve on. It was better, but, you know, we're not quite there yet.
But overall, as you mentioned, the 53 guys you made, it was a very good complimentary win. Special teams, offense, defense. Did it help to galvanize the team a little bit? Together?
Well, winning helps galvanize everything. So it's, you know, losing sucks, and it was a rough week. And, you know, I think the thing is there's a lot of character and mental toughness, and that really showed. So we're down but not out. And we had some momentum go our way that we didn't take advantage, and then it went their way, and then we fought and overcame some odds. So that's what football's all about. I mean, you're going to have those over the course of a season, and I was just proud of the way that we hung in there and never stopped fighting.
When you go for it on fourth down, how surprised were you with that decision?
When we didn't,
before the 3 minutes to go.
Yeah. Well, we knew that we were down one, and if we missed it, they were going to, you know, hopefully kick a field goal like they did, and then we'd have another chance. So I don't think we were very discouraged. You know, we just said, look, all right, got to do better, and you know, if we get it back, we got to certainly make more plays. There was little margin for error there at the end based on the situation that we were in, and guys really made some great catches, and certainly the last one was a, you know, great catch in the corner of the end zone.
What does it say maybe about the evolution of Kendrell as a receiver? He was a guy that you went to in such a key moment.
Well, he's done a great job. I mean, he's been in there a bunch. He's made a lot of plays for us this year, so I think going to all those guys, I mean, Aaron made some plays, Julian made plays, Austin made plays, who man-made some plays. So they're all big at this point. I mean, there's no drives that aren't important, or certainly no situations where things aren't important. As the game got closer to the end and the margin of error gets smaller, you got to make better plays, and with that, that's when we're at our best.
What put the ball there on the touchdown pass? What led you to get the ball? Because you obviously get out of the hurry.
Yeah. No, it was a tight throw, and we're sending all the guys to the end zone, and at that point you're just trying to pick a side, and I looked right and then came back left, and I saw Kay made a move and then slipped behind him, and I just tried to put it back there where he could make a play. So that was pretty sweet. I think sometimes it helped us a little bit because we were playing fast and you could be aggressive, and then sometimes if we didn't execute well, it didn't go very well. So, I mean, it's only as good as the execution, regardless of the tempo. And certainly late in the game, we were going fast. But we got to make the plays when they're there, whether they were going fast or going slow. It's, all those plays are important. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bad read. I mean, Julian was running through the defense, and I put it up there and just didn't make a good throw. So, everyone's a little deflated when we throw interceptions, but that's, you got to still bounce back. I mean, regardless of the situation, you got to have enough mental toughness to come through. And I think our guys all believe in each other, and I think we've shown that over the course of the season to get to 5-1. We've had some tough games, and none of them have been easy, but, 5-1 is a decent record.
Many of the fans were talking about the concerns they had with injuries and such, but fan after fan said, but we have Tom Brady. Is there something you'd like to say to them, these fans who always have confidence in you time and time again?
Well, we have great fans and great support, and every time we come and play at home, the crowd gives us a huge boost. So things have been pretty good here for a long time, and it's a great place to play, and we're trying to go out and represent the city the best we can, all of New England, and certainly that winning is an important formula too. So coach always says, do well in the community and try to win some football games. That's the two things that are important to the guys that sit in this room.
In those late game situations, do you realize how improbable it is to win the game, or do you go out there totally confident that you're going to execute and pull it off somehow, no matter how you play to that
point? Yeah, I think it's no matter how you play to that point, you have a situation, and you have one timeout, two timeouts, three timeouts, no timeouts, you're backed up. Regardless of what happens over the course of the game, you have a chance, and that's what football is all about. And, interestingly, the plays in the first quarter are just as important as the plays in the fourth quarter. It's just the game's not really on the line at that point. When the game's on the line, you see what guys are made of, and all those guys at the receiver position made some huge plays on the last drive. Yeah, well, you have to in football. You, as great as a win this is, we got to come to work tomorrow, and we're on the clock against the Jets, and they're going to be motivated. They lost. They're playing at home. We've already played them once, so, no matter what happens, you have to start working on next week, and we got to learn from the things we did well and learn from the things that we did poorly, and, try to get the 6-1. That's the goal this week. So thank you, guys.
Tom Brady and the Patriots are 5-1 on the season, beating New Orleans tonight 30-27. The come from behind, the winning drive from Tom Brady, vintage Tom Brady, going 70 yards in the final minute of play. 15-yard touchdown pass to Kenbrell Tompkins. Patriots led 17-7 at halftime, obviously put themselves in a very good position. The defense was very good in the first half, struggled at times in the third quarter, came up big though. The final two drives for New Orleans, both were three and outs. I know one led to a field goal. The other one, though, a three and out, did not let New Orleans get that first down to clinch the game. And then Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things in that final drive to give the Patriots the victory. And as Tom said, they, as all players say and all coaches say, back to the drawing board to focus on next week. And the Patriots will play at the New York Jets next Sunday, a 1 o'clock kickoff down at the Meadowlands. So, all in all, a successful day for the Patriots here at Gillette Stadium. So that will wrap things up for the Xbox One post-game show here today. We thank you for tuning in. And for my producer, Kevin Collins, behind the glass, who I will not call the monkey behind
the glass. It was a pleasure, Sky. You did a great job.
It was an honor and a pleasure and a privilege. And I want to thank Paul Perillo, Andy Hart for being so kind to me during the pregame social. They were pretty good. They weren't too bad. A few moments, but it was a good time all in all. Next week, Mark Bertrand will be back in the number one chair to lead you through the pregame social and the postgame show as well. Patriots win tonight, 30-27. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com Radio.
Luck on the play action. It's back to throw. Steps up. Lets it go. Open. And intercepted. Overthrew it to the far side. That's Talib at the 45, 40, 35. Back to the left of the 20. He's at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Aqib Talib.
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots travel to New York to take on the Jets. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Snap to Brady, has time, floats it downfield, open Edelman, he's got it. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Brady to Julian Edelman.
Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite.